I have a book at home on creativity. It's a book called What It Is. And on the front cover, it has a bunch of different phrases, but one of them is this: the formless thing which gives things form. And I thought, do they know about the Logos? Because that is exactly what happens. We have this force of God that has no form to it in itself, but it gives all things form. This book is speaking of creativity and imagination, but it could also be describing our gospel reading today. This is known as the prologue of John's gospel, and it speaks of the ultimate formless thing which gives things form, the Word of God. The Word of God, in Greek, the Logos, is not limited to letters on a page, something that we read about. The writer of John's Gospel is trying to tell us about the power of the Logos to express the inexpressible. We human beings have read the Word of God for centuries, but still failed to understand the power of the Logos. John's Gospel is trying to describe the force through which all things are made. Now, if you were here for Christmas Eve, you know that this is the second time this week that we have talked about the Logos. Why would we bring it up again if we just talked about it? It's important. And it's important not for philosophical reasons, but because it shapes human life, mine and yours, day after day. The prologue, I don't know about you, but it sometimes sounds almost like double talk. Like, you know, we're saying this in all these different sort of orders. And it tends to leave us with an impression of something that's indefinite and vague and something very big but indescribable. And the Logos, this concept, did grow out of the realm of philosophy because as the Christian tradition developed, its patriarchs, its original people who developed theology, wanted to connect it to what had already been there in the realm of philosophy. But it is the pivotal point, this sense of the Logos. I think it is the most important point in the New Testament. The Logos. God took on human flesh. That sets our faith tradition apart from other traditions. When I was college age, a friend of mine was taking a philosophy course, and she was a very practical, numbers-oriented person, and so she absolutely hated it. And she said, "We're talking about things like how many angels fit on the head of a pin." And she said, "I just don't really understand why anybody cares. First of all, we couldn't answer it." Well, this Logos, this is not about something abstract, about how many angels fit on the head of a pin. This is about how I treat another person. If I am like Jesus, if I imitate Jesus, and I am trying to be to another person the Word of God incarnate, then it changes how I treat another person. How do I respond to that person? How do I respond to this need or to that wound? Of course, it's difficult to put into human words that God chose to become a human being out of love for us.
It's not only that the thought and mind and word of God became alive here on earth, but that God really entered flesh and blood. It's not the appearance of human flesh and blood. That was one of the key heresies of the early church, is that, well, he looked like a human being, but he wasn't a real human being. The term used when we talk about flesh, human flesh, is the Greek term sarx. And that means the body with all of its senses and complications and challenges. That, the choice of that particular Greek word emphasizes the weak and perishable state of human beings. It's not just a general sort of feel-good word about flesh. The word soma in Greek is a word for body, and it's sort of a general sort of feel-good kind of word. Sarx is down and dirty. This is what it's like to be a real human being. So think about the incredible revelation that John describes here. The force which created all of the cosmos before time, that force chose to live in weak, base, human flesh of a man. But the Word made flesh, God incarnate, Jesus, still lives on this earth. John is saying that that presence means that our lives too matter in eternity. It is not an abstract notion. It is what God looks like on earth then and now. The Word became flesh and lived among us. This is the formless thing, the Logos, which gives things and people form. It is not a philosophical dare or challenge. It is a practical, everyday challenge. It means, as I said the other evening, that we choose to touch the untouchable, to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable. We do things we cannot imagine doing if we were to only use a small human heart and psyche to think about it. God takes on human flesh, human circumstances, human pain, and our human bodies are inspired and enlivened by nothing less than the Logos, the creative power of God. We all have moments in which we have trouble believing in a loving God because of the things that happen around us. And in those moments, we need nothing less than the power that created all that is, seen and unseen. We have that power available to us. We invoke that power, the power that created the cosmos, the Logos, when we say the word Jesus, when we live the word Jesus. That power, expressed in the abstract concept of the Logos, that power came in the moment when the Word became flesh and lived among us. It is the formless thing which gives things form.